The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Have you seen it? And the reading of our text. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the privilege that you have given us today to be gathered here with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in faith coming before you to confess our sins, to hear your words of forgiveness, to hear your word read to us, and now to hear your word shared and explained in a way that we may apply it to our lives. Grant, Father, that the words spoken and the words heard would truly be to the praise of your glory, for the enlightening of your people by the power of your Spirit, through whom we come to you in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is written in the epistle for today. If you turn to page 9 of your bulletin, verses 11 through 14, which is the last paragraph of the epistle reading. I'll read that. "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, all the words in God's Holy Scripture are important words. There's not one single word that is not important. St. Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for rebuking, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God be fully complete for every good work. Each word has been chosen by God for us. And these words in the epistle for today clearly ring of that great message. Because Paul says very clearly in this section that we were chosen. He's talking about the 12 initially. He's saying that in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And then he says to the congregation, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." What a powerful message. For the last few weeks, we've been celebrating Christmas preceded by Advent. And we're talking about the gift of God that he gave to us, his son Jesus, the babe in the manger. We still have our beautiful Christmas tree up here with all the symbols of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which remind us of him, but also remind us of who we are. That he came, all those symbols exist because of God's love for each of you. And today in our confession and absolution, you came before God's altar personally, not just corporately, but personally. You came before God's altar and you said, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Now, why is that important? Because in the Psalm, King David says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So as you came before the altar of God personally, God did not despise you. He did not look away from you. He did not say to any one of you, sorry, this redemption is for some of the others here, not you. God did not say that. But to each and every one of us, God spoke the words of forgiveness through me, a pastor, ordained by God, and given the power to forgive all of your sins by my ordination and my call to ministry. So it's not me who spoke these words to you today. It's God who spoke these words to you individually and corporately, but most importantly, individually, so that you can mark this day and all the other days when you've confessed before God, you can mark this day as a day when your slate of sins has been washed clean. Now, I'm sure there's some of you here, me included at times, who when I hear that, I get a little lump in my throat because I can remember something that I did, that I said, a way that I behaved, a way that I act, the way that I may have believed, all remind me, and I still get a lump in my throat because while God has forgiven me, I guess I've not accepted that forgiveness yet. And I'm sure each and every one of you still have some dark valley of the shadow of death within you where you can remember a time when you sin that you're just not able to let go of. I want to tell you again today, God comes to you because of this Jesus whom we celebrate. God comes to you today, and in the confession of your sins, you came before him with a broken and a contrite heart. And you said, Father, forgive me all of my sins. And God said, yes, each and every one of your wrongdoings, each and every one of the bad words you may have spoken to someone, each and every time you rolled your eyes and walked away because someone wasn't quite pleasing you, each and every time husbands and wives, you got a little angry with one another and one of you may have stormed off, or one of you may have stopped talking for a while, or one of you may have gone out and intentionally did something that you knew would upset your wife to get even, or your husband to get even. But we all have those times that we can remember. But God says, I've wiped them clean. Let go of them yourself. Know that before me, each and every sin that you committed, no matter how small or how large, has been forgiven. And so God comes to you today to remind you in the epistle of who you are. You are the redeemed children of God, predestined, chosen before God, by God before the foundations of the world, that you might know him, that you might believe in him. The power of his spirit he has given to you so that this day, this very day, once again, all your sins are washed away, as we've said so often here before, in the flood of the blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in him, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, that we are here today. Oh, you may have think, oh, once again, that alarm got me up, so I have to go to church. I wish I hadn't set that alarm. Or you may say, oh, golly, today I don't want to go to church. There's all football games on all day today. I want to stay home. But God's Spirit said, nope, you're going to church. And here you are. The praise of God's glory. Or maybe there was simply someone in your house, your husband or wife said, come on, honey, it's church day. We're going to go to church again. Praise God that you're here. Because this day, as all of the days you've come here before, is a day when your sins have all been wiped clean. The slate is empty. There's no charge against you anymore. They've all been obliterated by your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this becomes a very important day. And I hope that this first Sunday in January remains embedded in your minds as an important day when you came before the altar of God, confessed your sins, and reassured of God's forgiveness, and that you will never forget that. All of you here are included when you come to God because you believe the truth of the good news of salvation. And over time, you have shared that truth with other people. Now, some of those people may not have believed, or some of those people have gotten so busy that they don't go to church anymore. Whatever, that's their challenge. But your challenge, all the darkness that exists back here, is all washed away. And the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shines onto you more brightly than all these lights we have here. You have been illuminated by the light of Jesus to know and praise God. You are the people of God. You are the people of praise. You are the people called not to just rejoice and praise, however, but you are the people called by God to live. To live your life to the praise of his glory. Each of you today has been chosen. God's word says that you've been chosen by God's Spirit, and you've been given a promise, his Spirit, the ability that you have to know and to say that Jesus is your Lord. We've talked about that before in our sermons, in our Bible class, that the only way that you can know that Jesus is your Lord is because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto God forever. Forever. And that means although right now you walk through the valley of death, you are still the redeemed, restored children of God, and he has prepared a wonderful place for all of us. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee, and you know that guarantee is valid because you can each say, Jesus is my Lord. However, and there's always a however, last week our pastor preached a beautiful sermon on the however. He proclaimed the gospel, and then he brought us back to earth, so to speak, to say, but you're still sinners. We've been forgiven, clean slate, but my guess is, before this day ends, each one of us, in some way, either by thought, word, or deed, in some way, we will once again violate God's word. It may be a word that we speak. It may be a harshness towards another person. It may be in a moment of unbelief when we say, I don't know about this God stuff. But you are the redeemed, restored, forgiven children of God. All those yesterdays when you have sinned, all those things, all those times you may have said, why do these things happen to me? And who do we blame when those things happen? Sometimes we blame other people. Bottom line is when we cry out, why does these things always happen to me? We know who we're blaming, don't we? We're saying to God, God, why are you doing this to me again? And God says, I'm not. You're doing it to you. It is your mind, your wants, your desires, your sinfulness that rises up and causes you to want things you don't have, or to have your own way in some way, which is contrary to the law of God, the law of the land. Those things. Someone once said, a psychiatrist, I forget who it was, once said, all of us are exactly in that place in life where we've chosen to be. By our behaviors, by our actions, whatever it may be. I visited recently with a person who was screaming out, why? Why is all this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this darkness over and over and over and over and over again? And God constrained me, because all I want to say is, because all that's going on in your life is a result of what you've done in the past up to today, how you've lived, how you've behaved, and what you've done. But we don't want to hear that, do we? We don't want to hear that. But God will hear that, won't he? He'll hear that from you. He'll forgive that from you. And today becomes a day of thanksgiving because all the things that God has done to you. Or do you turn to the Word of God, where you will find the truth when things happen to you? when you're walking through that valley of the shadow of death, whether that be the real death of a loved one or the ending of something that's been going on or some pleasure that you've had or something goes wrong, something breaks down, we all go through that valley, that shadow of death. In Psalm 23, we read that, and we have a spiritualized King David, and God reveals his life plan to David. Psalm 23 is God's life plan laid out. And in our Bible class today, we're going to dig more deeply into that, so I hope you'll join us. But God's plan for you is that you get through those dark times. And his word is your strength and your power. And I'm not talking only about the written word. I'm talking about the incarnate word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone is the one who lifts you up and gives you his grace. Turn with me, if you will, again, to the first hymn for today. The fourth part of your bulletin, page 5. No, the wrong one, I'm sorry. First page of your bulletin. We sang hymn 686. And in the second verse of that, we say, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Now, I don't know about you, but I've always wondered about that word, Ebenezer. There have been a few people, I guess, who've had that as their name. It's a Hebrew name. I don't know any Ebenezers, but it's a Hebrew name. And it means my strength or my help or stone, my strong stone, the stone of strength. It's a word that conveys the meaning that something has happened in your life and God has rescued you from that because he's the strong stone. And so what happened in the first book of Samuel, Samuel's talking about the challenge that the Israelites are having with the Philistines, right? And in chapter 4, I think it is, the Philistines defeat the Israelites. And then again, they defeat the Israelites. And the third time, they defeat the Israelites. And the Israelites are filled with gloom and dread. And Samuel comes to them and speaks the word of the Lord to them. And he encourages them. And then we get to chapter 7 in 1 Samuel, and what happens? The Philistines are arrayed against the Israelites again, once more. And the Israelites rise up, and they defeat the Philistines by the power that God gave them. They're outnumbered, they're demoralized, but Samuel, speaking by the Spirit of God, raises their hopes and raises their energies, and they defeat the Philistines. And what Samuel does then, he sets up a tall stone, and he calls that stone the Ebenezer, because that's where the strong stone, God, turned the tables, turned their life, made it different by his interfering in the world and changing things for his people. Today can be your Ebenezer day, because today the stone's been wiped clean. There's nothing being held against you any longer by God. Today you have been lifted up by the power of God. You've been changed. So look around you. Take in what you see here. The symbols of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which grace this tree. Our altar before us here with a cross that has no body on it, because it symbolizes that our Lord is a risen Lord. And yet at the same time, we have the crucifix that reminds us of what our Lord and Savior Jesus did for us, what he went through for us. And all of this is for you as individuals, also for you as a congregation, a group of people. My friend, those people sitting next to you, before you and behind you, are your brothers and sisters in Jesus. They have each been washed clean by the flood of the blood. Every single person in this room has been cleansed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because you believe in him. You've had an Ebenezer day today. Everything that's happened in the past, no matter how bad it was, or no matter how much you cling on to that sin of the past, God's forgiven it. And you stand before him this day without stain or spot, redeemed by him, lifted up by him, so that you can live your life to the praise of his glory, showing kindness to everyone whom you meet. That kindness might be by a smile. It might be by a helping hand. It might be by a thought of prayer for what someone is going through. I wonder if you're like me. I wonder if at times when you see somebody who's struggling, maybe they're downtown with a sign, you know, saying, one sign I saw recently said, "I won't lie, I need a buck for a beer." Sometimes I go, oh my gosh, why can't we get rid of these people? Have you ever felt that? I don't want these people in the corner anymore, they're disturbing me. How about instead of that, we say, "God, Father in heaven, please bless this person and lift them up to your glory and lead them on the way as you've promised to do for all of us." We have an opportunity now. This is an Ebenezer day. We can be different going forward. But if you want to go home, find some stones and build them up and say, this is my Ebenezer stone. This is to remind me always that God is a strong stone who's redeemed me from all problems, who strengthened me when I need strength, helped me when I need help, but has done it according to his will, not mine, but according to his will, which is always pure and always perfect. So may this be your Ebenezer day. May you rejoice in Christ your Savior, that today and all the Sundays following, when we gather here, God forgives every sin. And you already have the power to change your life, living within you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you go out here from here today, you can be different. Because the Bible says that all the bad stuff has been washed away, and now God continues to strengthen you, sustain you, and support you. May this be your walk to the praise of his glory and to your great joy now and forever. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. We rise for the creed.